You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves here with SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 21st of January 2021. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, what a Biden administration means for markets both locally and here in Australia. But first, Australia's unemployment rate fell more than expected, down 0.2% to 6.6% in December. 8 out of 9 jobs lost because of the pandemic-induced recession have now been recovered, but with 912,000 Australians out of work, there's still a long way to go. For more, I spoke earlier with HSBC Chief Economist Paul Bloxham. Paul, how would you describe the way Australia's labour market has recovered from the pandemic-induced recession?
So the labour market's showing a strong recovery, which is a really good story in the scheme of things. Employment's up, hours worked are up, the unemployment rate's down, underemployment rate's down, the participation rate has hit a new record high. Collection of things telling us that we've got momentum. But we were in an enormous hole. And so you've got to keep in mind that we've actually still only just regained 90% of the jobs that we lost as a result of the COVID shock. So we've still got a long way to go.
Okay, to what extent has government stimulus measures masked the true nature of the headline numbers?
It's really hard to know precisely, but what we do know is that the JobKeeper and the JobSeeker and all the stimulus that's been provided has provided a lot of forbearance for the economy. There's still quite a lot of the adjustment of the economy to the post-pandemic new normal, the new normal of border that are closed, a tourism industry that's struggling, international student numbers that are weak and so on. A lot of that adjustment still has to happen yet.
There are still nearly 1 million people out of work. There's a lot of spare capacity in the market. What do you think needs to be done?
Look, I think fiscal policy is the focus here. It's the case that we're going to see the end of some of these various big COVID-19 programs like JobKeeper in a couple of months' time. But we still need to have a clear focus on fiscal policymakers watching that the unemployment rate does trend lower. And if it's not trending lower fast enough, we need to pull more of those fiscal levers because the RBA's got no room to move. So it really is over to the fiscal policymakers.
And Queensland has the highest unemployment rate of the states and territories. Is that related to tourism? Is it more than that? And, you know, is border restrictions having an impact there?
Look, it's partly statistical because the underemployment rate actually was higher in a couple of other states. The participation rate in Queensland went to a very high level in the month. But you're right that certainly the tourism industry is one of the key areas where we're going to see weakness. And in fact, that challenge is going to be with us for quite some time yet, given that the international borders are not likely to be open for some time. And even when they're reopened, I think it's going to be very gradual.
Paul Bloxham there from HSBC. Shares in the US have surged overnight as markets contemplate, rather, what a Biden administration will mean for shares both here in Australia and in the US. So for more, I spoke with Beta Shares, Adam O'Connor. Adam, what does a Biden administration mean for shares both globally and locally?
Yeah, so I think the investment story for the Biden administration really sort of changed gears a couple of weeks ago when the Democrats effectively got control of both Congress and the White House. And basically that means they've sort of got, you know, pretty much a free runway to implement their agenda. So the market's really started to price in the likelihood of more stimulus coming in the near term. We really just saw a revival of the reflation trade on the back of that. So we saw a rotation into, you know, more cyclical, economically sensitive sectors and some renewed buying of smaller companies and maybe a bit of a shift away from the large caps that have been supported quite well.
Let's run through some of the key factors. First of all, as you mentioned, the reflation trade, how's that connected and how does that work?
Yeah, so when I talk about the reflation trade, it's sort of where you're at in the economic cycle. So if we look back to last year, what tends to happen when, near-term economic expectations are bleak and interest rates fall to record lows, what happens in that environment is companies with longer-term growth horizons and longer-term cash flows effectively, they become quite attractive to investors and get bid up. And that's what we've really seen with, you know, the prevalence of buying in tech and your FANG stocks effectively. And now you get a situation where you know, the US market's about as concentrated as it's ever been. You've got your top five stocks accounting for about 22% of the market, and most and all of those are effectively technology stocks. Now, when we talk about the reflation trade, what we're talking about is a reversal of that. So, you know, your economic expectations in the short term pick up, and all of a sudden these, you know, these companies that are more sensitive to the economy and that, you know, their cash flows, you know, a lot more near term, they start to become a lot more attractive. And so you see this rotation away from, you know, big tech potentially into what we call cyclical sectors like financials, energy and smaller companies.
You mentioned technology. Tech stocks have had a really big rally under the previous administration. So given that and what you've just said, where to now, though, under a Biden administration?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, one of the strategies that's starting to get a lot of conversation, particularly out of some of the institutional research desks in the US, is what's called a barbell strategy. And I think what you really need to be doing is just looking at your asset allocation, just making sure it's right for the environment. And so what you can potentially do is, you know, look to exposures and trying to make sure you do have enough in sort of the value and the broader exposure to the economy. But on the other end, I think you do still need to have some of that tech in there. And, you know, it has been supported by low interest rates and the dynamics I was talking to further. But also you've got, you know, a lot of structural trends that by the virtue of COVID have really been brought forward. You know, maybe we were looking at a 5 to 10 year time frame for a lot of these things. You know, look at Netflix, for example. Overnight, Netflix had a stunning Q4 earnings result. They're over 200 million subscribers now. You know, Netflix just keeps going and beating estimates. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of these trends like the shift to, you know, consumption of digital media, online shopping. You know, they're very structural trends.
Finally and briefly, what's the upside to clean energy?
Oh, well, a lot of that upside's really been priced in. It's been one of the hottest sectors in the US market over, I guess, sort of the past 3 months when a Biden presidency looked started to look more likely, and now it's here. Ultimately, it's expected, you know, stimulus to come through pretty much in the near term. Now, Biden's stimulus plan not only includes, you know, putting money directly into people's bank accounts, but, you know, a fairly meaningful infrastructure spend. And that infrastructure spend is expected to go towards clean energy infrastructure. So, you know, to put that in perspective, what that sort of means is a lot of things like retrofitting buildings. So you've got a lot of old buildings, making sure they're more energy efficient, you know, maybe making sure they're solar powered and things like that. That's a fairly meaningful investment. And that's where that's really driving that trend in the market at the moment.
Adam O'Connor there from Beta Shares. Well, the Australian share market hit an 11-month high today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.8% to 6,823. Zip was the best performer on the 200. The buy now, pay later stock up 23% and a positive quarterly update. NAB, the best of the bank, up 1.6%. And a price target upgrade helped BHP, which added 1.6%. For more on the day's action, I spoke earlier with Henry Jennings from Marcus Day. Henry, the market is up today. Why?
Well, I guess it's a combination of factors, Ricardo. One, of course, is the inauguration of Joe Biden, which gave us a positive tone overnight. And that feeling that we're going to get more stimulus, I guess, a bit like Oliver Twist, that we're just holding out for more, more, more. And that's very much on the agenda now. It's talking about that $1.9 trillion stimulus in the US only being a down payment. So that's good for the market. And of course, we're seeing that vaccine program as well, which certainly helps too. So along with the job numbers we've seen today, which were again quite positive in some respects, 6.6%, 50,000 new jobs added. So that's just adding to the optimism that's out there. And we're heading into reporting season. And so far, we've gone through a sort of a mini confession season, I guess, with many companies updating the market before reporting season. And they generally have been quite positive. And we're also seeing some positive results in the US as well coming through. So all up, quite an optimistic outlook, that's for sure.
Speaking of the markets and its direction, Morgan Stanley lifted its ASX 200 target from 6,700 to 7,100. Where do you see it going and where is the upside?
Well, I guess we saw this actually, funnily enough, last January the market was absolutely flying. And then, of course, we got derailed by COVID. But even before then, the February results were a little bit concerning. This year, a lot of the bad news, I suspect, has been built into the share prices as we head into reporting season. So it is about the outlook. So I think we're going to continue this slow grind higher and may be punctuated by moments of volatility. But at the moment, the market does appear that it wants to go higher. The banks certainly are in sort of a space where they could move higher as well, with those dividends returning this year and a more normal environment as we're seeing. And of course, we haven't seen a housing price collapse. And then there's the miners. The big miners are doing very well. These commodity prices very strong still. So that's really helping the likes of BHP, Rio, Fortescue, and even some of the peripheral players, the Western areas on the nickel side of things as well.
Speaking of commodities, we had some great production numbers from the likes of Woodside and Santos. So in that energy space, what's your view of that sector?
Well, I guess it's really about the global recovery that we're hoping to see in 2021. So very much good numbers from both Woodside and Santos. The Woodside number also was alluding to that very high LNG price, which we've seen, and not because of anything really sinister, but more because we've had a big freeze in the Asian region, and that has really pushed up LNG prices, spiked the spot prices higher. Most LNG is priced on long-term contracts, but that certainly has helped the outlook for Woodside. So I think it's a pretty positive outlook for both of them, Woodside and Santos, going forward, as we do see that acceleration in global growth.
And on the 200, the best performer today is Zip. I know we bang on about buy now, pay later stocks quite regularly, but what's your take on the broader sector? Because I remember back a time when a lot of brokers and a lot of the big, you know, investment houses were saying, don't touch these kind of stocks.
Well, look how wrong they were when you've got Afterpay, an absolute Goliath now, and Zip, a 20% move today. And I think really and truly that the thing that's galvanized the sector in the last few weeks, if it needed any more galvanizing, was the US listing of that Affirm company, which was kind of a half now, buy now, pay later, half credit card provider. And what today's result from Zip has shown, of course, is that that QuadPay business that they bought in the US is going absolute gangbusters, and that the November numbers with, of course, the Cyber Monday and all the Thanksgiving sales wasn't an aberration. So that really is driving their business now. Zip US, which is that QuadPay business, is now generating more than 50% of group revenue. So that is quite astonishing. And when you look at the valuations of a firm, which, as I say, just listed in the US, and then you read through that to Afterpay and Zip, it does make our buy now, pay later stocks, and they are star stocks because they've been leading this market and actually created this market, look relatively cheap. So I think this rally is going to continue for Zip and for Afterpay as it just continues to be the juggernaut that it is. It's extraordinary.
Henry Jennings there from Marcus Today. That's On The Money from SBS. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.